most beautiful, full cactus, full of white, huge flowers. And a little farther down, another cactus that was just ringed with these beautiful tangerine blossoms. And so the desert welcomes you wherever you are. And we are happy to come to you tonight. And Bill's topic is going to be, surprise, it's human freedom, ultimate freedom, your freedom. And so with that, I will hand it over to Bill.
Well, Donna, thank you so much. Hey, you know what's cool is Donna and I have this thing coordinated. I finished pushing all these little buttons, you know, one of them to record it, another to do the mute thing. And I finished just in time, just as I hear her say, and here's Bill. So thank you so much, Donna. And Donna, I really was thinking of you the other day. And I really want to thank all of you for being here. And frankly, for being such an intimate participant in this really, really beautiful sacred hour together. And then come to think of it, I want to thank you mostly just for being you, for being yourself, this self that's so beautiful, just such a delight to be with. You know, just for me, when we do this, on the one hand, kind of silly gesture of, hey, who's there and all that, on the other hand, to me, that is like so wonderful and so sacred because to me, life is pretty much all about just having this grand excuse to love each other and hang out with each other and celebrate life together. And this hour every month, I just want to say to you, stands out in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, in my core, as just one of the most sacred ways that we could be together. So thank you so much. Just your very presence, whether you ever say anything or not, just offers all of us just this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to see the beauty of life in you. So second, just briefly at least, I want to share with you some of the wonderful workings of our soulful community just over these past weeks since our last teleconference together at the end of March. A few weekends ago, we actually hosted our third annual Mentoring and Immersion Graduates Reunion. Those are big words. Right here in good old St. George, Utah. And it was frankly a beautiful gathering of many of you who've, spent such intimate times with us over the past few years. But it was much more than that. It was really, and what it turned itself into was our official beginning of what a number of us have come to call phase two of the Center for Soulful Living. It really started our initiation of the new life that we're currently inviting all of you to participate so fully in CSL. And you received some things in your email just from us in that regard. So we are just happily in the middle of this reconstruction, this moving to a new phase. It's just too joyful. So the next weekend after that, I had the joy of leading the second of three-day weekends in our Enlightened Leadership Program. And I want you to know it was a truly mighty, mind-blowing weekend with vast magnetic spirit of leadership and the blessing of soul being with everyone there throughout, and through that, just with every one of us feeling that blessing. Then this past weekend, I had the utter privilege of flying to the Big Apple, New York City, and leading a two-day seminar there with so many amazing, wonderful people whose personal beauty, whose personal charisma just touched me deeply. And I love that city, but I mostly love all the people that I once a year get to hang out with in that space. So what's next, you might ask? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I am pleased to let you know that this coming weekend we'll be hosting seven special people in another of our small group intensives right here in St. George. And why am I telling you all this, you're wondering? Well, it's because in all of these events, I want you to know that even if you're not a part of any or all of them, you are an intimate participant. And the beautiful thing about the way soul works, especially in such an open-hearted community as ours, is that any one person's win is everybody's win. and the very blessings that I observe flowing into and through everyone who participates in any of our CSL events actually flow strongly through you and in you as well. So I invite each and every one of us just to notice every day the ongoing blessings that come to you, come to us, just because you're so intimately connected with all the rest of us very, very silly people. Wait, before I start, there's a third announcement I'd like to make. It's this: Donna and I sold our home, if you didn't know that. And if you recall, if you're on our mailing list, you got an email from us a few weeks ago announcing that we were putting it on the market, and sure enough, thanks to your support, it sold within a week to the utterly perfect buyers. So what this means is that within a couple of weeks, Donna and I will be living no longer in St. George, but in our condo in Las Vegas. And just yesterday we signed a lease to occupy a beautiful office space that's not far from that condo, that home in Las Vegas. So soon we will be having, CSL will be having two presences, one right here in St. George with our beloved Eleanor at that helm, and the second one in Las Vegas where Donna and I will be navigating that ship. And just so you know, all of the CSL programs that had been originally scheduled to be held here in St. George for the remainder of this year will be held, well, right here in St. George. No change there. The only exception will be the small group intensives that are scheduled from July on, not the one coming up this next weekend. They will be held in our new Las Vegas offices. And I mainly wanted to bring you up to date on all these details so that you can take this glorious ride with us into CSL's new phase, not only with awareness and understanding, but so you can actually participate in the fullest possible spirit and get the full blessings of the whole deal. So with that, I am tickled to dive with you today into our adorable, truly important topic. You'll love this. You love all the topics I come up with. Human freedom, ultimate freedom, your freedom. And as would be the logical thing to do, let's look at that singular word that's common in all these words of the title, freedom. As we all know, not every human being is here on Earth with freedom being their dominant, compelling, driving force. At least I think we know that. Many human beings, for example, are much more driven to find and even sit in, if you will, the warm embrace of security more than personal freedom. And that's why we look around and we don't always see people who are just like us. I'm sure the thought has occurred to you. And we see people who are oriented toward lots of other things. But freedom, I believe, is one of those qualities of life that does invite, does call, maybe not everyone, but does call many, many, many of us here on this teleconference call in this moment, especially those of us who are here to make some contribution to life here on Earth, those who feel moved to a life of personal wholeness or personal bigness or oneness or allness. So to me, freedom is a big deal. It's a really, really big word. And frankly, because I share what I just talked about you, I share that with you. Freedom for me from day one of my life has just been a huge, huge deal. It's been it probably could have been my middle name. And it's a word, I think, that implies two things, freedom from and freedom for. And knowing that you would be the first to think to yourself, well, you know, why doesn't Bill just look up the word freedom in the dictionary? Well, pre-thinking about that question, I decided to do just that. Oh, the things I do just to defend myself against thoughts like that that you have. And you know what I found? Well, let me tell you a few definitions of the word freedom that I found in the trusty dictionary. Here they are. By the way, after I did that, I looked up in this dictionary that Donna and I have had for a lot of years. I thought, gee, I wonder when we got this. I shudder to say it's got a copyright of 1968. So you know that these words are current. This description of freedom is right here. Here they are: independence, self-determination, liberation from slavery or imprisonment, exemption from political restraint or external control, liberty of choice or action, freedom from want, the right to enjoy privileges, ease of motion. I just picked out some of those. You'd be surprised how many words there were for freedom. And while I was immersed right in the middle of the dictionary, I thought to myself, you know, I just can't resist the impulse to find examples of this word in our everyday usage. See, I couldn't resist the impulse. No free will, no freedom on my part. So let's try these on for size. Freedom of the press, freedom of choice, freedom of the seas, free energy, free love, free form, free hand, free lance, free lunch, free thinker, free trade, free way, and maybe in saving the best for last, free will. So I just wanted to share this with you. Really, I don't know why, I just felt like it. So my strong sense is that each and every one of us here feels strongly called to freedom. Some of us moderately, others to a more ultimate degree. So in other words, some of us need just enough personal freedom to feel fulfilled and accomplish our purposes in living, while others of us seem driven, I mean really driven, to some version of total freedom, complete freedom, or if you will, ultimate freedom. Well, whichever it is for you, let's assume that somewhere in the profound, resourceful depths of your being, something, let's maybe call it your all-knowing, all-wise soul, is regularly calling you to be free, to feel free, to act free, to have freedom in your relationships, to exercise freedom in your choices, to encounter freedom in your work or projects. Short and simple, to be free, to be free, to be free in every aspect of your human life. So, what is freedom? I mean, aside from its dictionary-based definitions, of course, and since we've already got the 1968 version, we probably need nothing else. But if there's something beyond that, what is freedom? And of course, as in everything else, each one of us would describe it differently based on what it means to us personally or intimately. So allowing for that and even encouraging all the ways that you might translate what I'm about to say, my descriptions here, into your own personal version of freedom, allow me to speak briefly, if you will, about my sense of what the funny phenomenon called freedom is. And I'm going to talk about this just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to apply it to us. I think first and foremost, freedom is a feeling. It's a sense. It's a personalized experience. And while we can certainly and even validly look at freedom as an exemption from something external, for example, freedom from slavery, freedom from debt, more fundamentally, it's an internal job. It's an internal sense or sensation or feeling. Recall, if you will, for example, how many instances we have of persons who are in dire external circumstances, like concentration camps, prisoner of war camps, who choose to put their emphasis on creating a profound sense of empowering personal, internal, maybe mental or spiritual freedom in the very midst of that oppressive situation. And for these brave people, freedom became all about claiming their own innate power to be free. It was all about owning their inherent natural state of freedom. It was about how they embraced freedom as a phenomenon that was alive and well within themselves, regardless of what the external world looked like. So, first of all, my sense is freedom is a deeply, deeply internal deal, a personalized feeling, an individual experience, deep, even emotional, vibrational experience that lives in our core. So, second, I tend to see freedom, at least, as a living, active energy. Just like we have a choice of looking at the Earth as a sort of a solid ball spinning around the sun, or as Gaia, a living, vibrant energy and entity. And I tend to look at freedom in the second of those versions. So it's a moving force. It's an active energy. It's an alive, vibrant power. It's like a mighty electric power, if you will. So it's not just a state of freedom, as in whether we have it or not, whether we claim it or not. But it's a tangibly active, dynamic, lively, internal experience. So the question that arises is not just, gee, are you free or not? But second, do you feel alive? And third, how vibrant, how life-producing is that experience of freedom? In other words, how dynamic is it, and are you in the middle of it? How much are you feeling filled with it? How much are you enjoying it? How are you swimming in its internally liberating waters? Is it a living fire in your belly, perhaps a compelling moving force in your energy, a dynamic feeling maybe in your gut or in your heart? Or to say it another way, is your personal freedom really something you feel deeply throughout your whole being? Is it something you get or absorb or know everywhere in your consciousness, not just as a concept, but as an intimate part of your very essence? Yes, as an intimate part of everything that you are. Well, seen through spiritual eyes, freedom is already your created nature. And so I want to just look at freedom and your freedom through the eyes of your spirit. The spiritual truth of you and of me is that we are created absolutely free. That it's already a done deal, that complete freedom is inherently alive in our bones, and freedom is an actual real part of everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel in life. And I want to tell you right now, I'm just kind of easing into this, but as I was sitting this afternoon preparing this precious talk that we have tonight, I just got really pumped about kind of talking about freedom in maybe the biggest way I've ever done. So, freedom, in its purest spiritual perspective, is not something that we have to quest after, not something we have to seek or struggle to discover. It's already ours. It's fully present every moment of every day. It's present right here, right now. It's an internally vibrant, alive and well phenomenon that drives us, drives our thoughts, it enlivens our emotions, it empowers our actions, full time, big time, all the time. You know, it was the American theoretical physicist and cosmologist Alan Guth, you know, a good friend of all of yours, I'm sure, Alan Guth. He's a professor of physics at MIT, who once said these now famous words. And this is one of my favorite quotes for whatever reason. It's very short and sweet. It goes like this: the universe is the ultimate free lunch. Don't you love that? The universe is the ultimate free lunch. And I believe that what he meant in these classy words is that freedom is alive and well everywhere in the universe. That for you and me, our universal nature houses nothing short of complete and total freedom, and so maybe, by golly, there is something like a really free lunch, and maybe it's just built into who we are. So what is it with our human penchant for feeling unfree? In other words, how come we believe and perceive that freedom isn't ours by nature, that it eludes us and is unavailable to us? Why do we feel that we have to search for freedom, that we have to work for it, fight for it, pray for it? Well, it probably doesn't surprise you, I don't have a very convincing answer to this question. I don't have a very convincing answer for anything except, you know, why does Robert have a birthday on today? Well, because he was born on today. That's convincing. But other than that, I don't. But I do have a thought about it, and I'd love to share it. And it's this: as human thinkers, you and I have simply forgotten that we're innately in total and complete charge of our choices. That's freedom. In charge of our lives, and ultimately that we're in total and complete charge of our personal destinies. So, if I may, I want to repeat that statement at least as best I can, because to me it's such a central, important statement of reality. As human thinkers, we've simply forgotten that we are innately, by our birthright, in total and complete charge of every one of our choices, of every aspect of our lives, and ultimately of our destiny. Whew, that speaks. That's right. I do believe that I've just put into words one of the most deeply guarded secrets of the human scene, that we are totally in charge. We are completely free, and we're powerfully creating our destinies at every moment. Well, wait a minute, you ask. Hey, Bill, what happened here? How did this hidden secret come about? What's the story with our forgetting our innate freedom? You know, I was hoping you would ask that. Because I think the story goes something like this. We, you and I, all of us, we somehow started this human adventure completely bathed in the truth that we're here to experience divine love, divine radiance through human expressions. Yes, we did. And let's say we had it down. It's that Garden of Eden, Book of Genesis thing. Then, as we were just going about our business of being and playing God, we decided to do what it was Don Miguel Ruiz, the contemporary Mexican shaman and teacher, the author of the Four Agreements, described about us when he wrote these words: "We are God dreaming that we are not God." I think it was even last month that I expressed that quote from Don Miguel Ruiz in a different context. I want to repeat it. We are God dreaming that we are not God. So let's say it this way. In some mysterious, strange way, we decided to use our unlimited freedom to pretend that we're not free. I think that's so good. We decided, as a function of our total and complete freedom, to pretend that this life is not necessarily a divine one, but a limited one. We decided to play make-believe. We decided to make-believe that our freedom is, let's say, worthy of being a bit suspect, of being maybe not so trustable, not very reliable, maybe, in short, not divine. So we decided, again, using our full authority as free creators of destiny, to create a fun game, a fun detour, to embark upon a grand adventure, to play a new kind of game. What's the game, you ask? It's a great fun game of freedom. In effect, we said to each other, let's pretend that we're directed rather than directing ourselves, that we're oppressed rather than liberated, that we're struggling rather than flowing, that we're maybe not supposed to trust our instincts, trust our thoughts, trust our feelings, trust our decisions. So in effect, as part of the game, we set our feet upon this new adventure and just an exciting path of believing that we're unfree, that we're cut off somehow from our inherent God-given freedom. Oh, sure, we still use words like free will. I love that word, free will, to describe ourselves. But notice, even in using the words, the suspicious context in which we house that term, free will, we sort of implicitly pit it against a bigger truth. We talk about it as though we have the right to act against God's will or some higher will or in opposition to what's in our greater good. And, of course, as we know, once we believe the story, once we forget it's just a big make-believe, then sure enough we're off and running to the races of, let's call it, shame or guilt or feelings of separation or personal disempowerment. And all because we decided collectively, hey, let's play make-believe. Let's invent an arbitrary fantasy. So maybe I'm just here to speak that, or what did I call it, that heavily guarded secret about life, that any sense of unfreedom is simply a living out of that fantasy. So we've just arrived at the key place in our conversation this evening where the big, all-important question of all questions emerges. Here it is. And maybe it's the central question, come to think of the whole human scene. The question is, are you ready to re-own the bigger truth of your own freedom? Are you ready to reclaim your personal freedom, a freedom that's total, that's without guilt, without shame, a freedom that's filled with with unending options and possibilities, a freedom that's complete with the excitement of your own creativity, that's filled with the adventure of your destiny. Are you ready to look deep within, let's say deep within your personal psyche, to look into your vast spirit, to look out into your freedom-filled breadth, and to discover, maybe rediscover, your God-given, God-created capacity for total liberty, total. Then to claim that innate personal freedom as though you had never lost it in the first place. I'm going to ask it another way. Are you ready to stop perceiving yourself as in opposition to God, in opposition to yourself, in opposition to a higher will, maybe in opposition to life itself? Are you ready to forget shame, forget unworthiness, forget undeservingness, smallness, sense of separation, forget anything else that might hold you back from knowing what I want to call five very important truths about yourself? So I want to express and talk about five really important truths that to me bespeak you as free. The first is exactly that. You are created. Number one, you are created not only perfect, but you are created totally free. Not only free to eat that apple off of the tree of the Garden of Eden, but to do so without shame, without feelings of guilt. Free, totally free to take charge of who you are, of what you are. Free to think, free to feel, free to act in accord with your own design. Free to take charge of your life directions, of your personal calling, of your implied destiny. Totally, totally free. That's number one. Number two, you are free to love yourself unconditionally. Let me say it another way. You're free to find absolute delight in who you are. Free to find comfort in your own specialness. Free to be fascinated by your own beauty. Free to fall in love. Yes, fall in love with that unique facet of life that we call you. Free. Free to celebrate your perfection, free to love your grandeur, free to be in awe of your greatness. Or again, in short, number two, you're free to love yourself unconditionally. Number three, you're free right here and now to perceive the world around you as your own creation. And because this is a tougher one for many of us to get, I'm going to just say a little more about it. I repeat, you're free to perceive the world all around you as the world that you created, as your own creation, to see that world as a reflection and expression of your own making, not primarily to see it as a collective human creation or even a divine creation, even though it's all of that also, but one that you can deal with as yours. And in this regard, let's look just briefly at today's scientific interpretations, the ones that declare that nothing outside yourself is real except what you perceive, and that what you perceive is not necessarily what other people perceive because it's your creation, your very, very own creation. So, of course, in this regard, you are the god or the goddess of this creation, the creator, creatress of this world, the empowering source and force behind this perceived formation. You, nobody else. And to me, this is it's one of the biggest truths in all of created life. The world around you is the world within you, is, in turn, the world of your own making, is the world you design, the world you interact with and continually recreate. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know about you, but when I went to high school and studied physics, or at least sat through the physics classes, it was very much Newtonian physics, and I give Newtonian physics tremendous, tremendous accolades and praise. But it did not prepare me for the 21st century. It did not prepare me for the Aquarian age. It did not prepare me big time to perceive and relate to a world in a way that helps me and all of us create our world in a whole new way. This, number three, does. Number three, you are free to perceive the world around you as your own creation. Number four, therefore, you are free to accept unabashed, unbounded, unblemished responsibility for all creation. Now, before you panic, bear with me. In one very, very special way, you are the creator of all life, and you are the ongoing creator of every aspect of life that comes across your plate. And yes, you're right. It's equally valid and right to say, yes, God created it all, and yet you're so much a part of that. And the world that is yours is so intricately wrapped up with and expressive of who you are that in this particular angle, we can express truth number four. You can accept unabashed, unbounded, unblemished responsibility for all creation. You are delightfully, lovingly, deliciously in charge of everything you see. And think about and notice how that feels as you hear those words, whether your mind can wrap around them or wants to wrap around them or not. How does your gut feel about that? How you see what's around you is how you have created it to be seen. And with that, you can now accept your role as creator. You can now take responsibility for that creation, and you can continue to refine the creation until everything within you says, ah, now it's just right. Just like back to Genesis, on the seventh day, I think it was, God looked at all creation and said, ah, now it's just right, just like Goldilocks did before that. Why did I say that? Number five, finally, you are free to be at peace. At peace. Not just in relation to the world within yourself, but equally in relation to the world that's seemingly outside yourself. You're free to find, quote, that peace that surpasseth all understanding. You try saying that word, surpasseth, that the Bible speaks of. Why? Because you're totally free from blame and shame. You're free from guilt and unworthiness. You're free to live and flow lovingly. You're free to create and express shamelessly, free to think and feel without second-guessing yourself, free to create yourself anew in every way, on every day, with permission, with right, with authority. Why? Simply because you're free, because you're free, because you're inherently free. And if I may, just before I shift, I would like to repeat the main points of this five-fold freedom that you and I enjoy. And here they are. Number one, you are created not only perfect, but totally free. Number two, you are free to love yourself unconditionally and life unconditionally. Number three, you are free to perceive the world around you as your creation. And therefore, number four, you are free to accept unabashed, unbounded, unblemished responsibility for all creation. And as a result, number five, you are free to be at peace, not just in relation to the world within yourself, but in relation to the world that looks like it's outside of yourself. Whew, just let yourself breathe for a second. These are pretty heavy-duty, powerful concepts. Of course, in one sense, absolutely nothing new to any of us, but they're pretty huge expressions of the truth of your and my innately liberated state. So let's look at these aspects of the ultimately free you. And so when I talk about ultimate human, which a few of you have heard me talk about, I'm talking about your ultimate freedom. Let's look at these aspects of the ultimately free you from a few other angles right now, if you will. I think I've got about three of them. First, if you've known me for a while and experienced a lot of what I say, you'll notice that I don't often express this truth so clearly and with such forthright tone. I do express it, of course. I express it actually a lot, but usually not in such, well, come to think of it, such free terms. Why do you think that is? Well, usually it's because most human beings aren't ready. They're simply not ready for this bigger truth. You are, but most of us, I think we would agree, are most of us humans are enmeshed. We're enmeshed in our own struggles, our own guilt, our own hopes, our own projects, etc., in ways that at least subconsciously accept the pretend-based fantasy of non-freedom. So in short, we're so engrossed in our path toward freedom, so believing it's our job to find freedom, work for freedom, attain freedom, that we're just not ready to stick our head up there above the forest of our personal path, see this bigger truth, and welcome it into our lives. Well, why then did I decide to blare it out with such clarity, such directness? Oh, I was so clear. If so many people aren't ready, well, it's because I firmly believe that you and all of us who have gathered here together this evening, that, who are having this conversation, are ready, are in capital letters. Indeed, you are ready. Do you remember that old, I guess it's not so old, maybe 5 or 10 years, that old comical question-answer line that goes something like this, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Remember that? That's so cool. Well, you notice I'm not saying that to you tonight. I think you can handle the truth. Sure, it may still take many of us a little getting used to, or the learning curve may be tricky for a while, and the feeling of total freedom may seem a bit unreal at first, but you know what? I know you're ready. At least you're ready for your own version of this ultimate total personal freedom. And so the more important question may be, do you think you're ready to know and to accept that you're completely, totally, ultimately free? What do you think? Well, while you're thinking, there's a second consideration, one I'd like to have us look at together, and it's this. I'm talking about freedom as our natural state, not as something we have to attain. And you notice I've not really given us a list of how-tos. That is a manual of a 5, 10, 12-step program. Oh, I shouldn't have said 12-step. That's a whole different deal. For reclaiming this natural freedom of ours. Have any idea why I bypassed this practical, perhaps otherwise helpful approach? Well, to be a little candid about it, because to do so, like if I gave us practical steps, if I gave myself practical steps to our inherent freedom, there's a basic contradiction there. To do that would only reinforce that there's still steps to take, that there's still something you need to do, I need to do. That is, take these 12 steps in order to be free. And the point is, we're already free, period. So what's a body to do if there's no practical steps to take? How does this innate freedom thing just happen? Well, here's my thought about it, and forgive me if this sounds like a step. Oh, my gosh, I so apologize if this sounds like a step. Don't hear it as a step. What do? How does it happen? You just accept it. You just accept it. Maybe you just keep looking at it. This fact that you're totally free. Just keep looking at your freedom. Whenever especially any circumstances arise when maybe you don't feel so fully free, and you just look at it. You just watch it. You just let it, your freedom, call you and maybe call you again. And for the most part, you just look at it. You just let it wash over you maybe a time or two or a few hundred times, or you let it speak to every facet of you, speak to your body, speak to your heart, speak to your gut, speak to your whole being a few times, maybe 1,000 times. Let it become you in its own subtle way, in its own mystical way. Let yourself be lifted rather than trying to lift yourself, whether gradually or over time, or in one fell swoop. Be lifted into total and complete freedom. Just accept it. Why? Because you deserve it. And so I have one last, third and last consideration about our grand freedom. It's this. I referred to it as one of our most heavily guarded human secrets, the fact that we're totally free to create everything. And if you think about that, that's kind of weird. Why, you know, even if it were making it as this big make-pretend thing, why would we make it so heavily guarded? Well, maybe because it's too scary for most people to handle, because it would totally upset the human apple cart, the apple cart of human functioning, if too many people knew about it. Because it would make billions of people jealous if they knew that you had a freedom they didn't have, and to wit, a total freedom at that. So I have a suggestion. Oh, I knew you were waiting for this. Yes, I do. I have a suggestion for all of us. You ready? It's a little comical, but bear with me. See, I've not been comic all evening. When our son, Donna's and my son, was quite young, I don't actually have any other son, so surely it was Donna's and mine. When our son was quite young, we told him a secret. We revealed a secret that most other boys and girls his age didn't know. We told him that we thought he was ready to know this secret, but that probably it was pretty important that he not share it with his friends because they might not be so ready to know it. So, and some of you I'm sure know this, and others of you are guessing it, and maybe some of you are like way out in the cold. So I'm going to tell you, we told him the secret, the real story, if you will, of Santa Claus. We shared with him how Santa was this wonderful symbol of everybody's love for one another. Now, when he was two, we probably didn't use the word symbol. But how Santa was the symbol of everybody's love. And that all of us so wanted to celebrate that love that we created this game, this fantasy of a man who actually embodied all that love. And we poured all our love into this make-believe man. And when this man, Santa, brings presents to boys and girls, that's a grand game that we're all playing just so that we have a way of spreading love into the lives of every child who lives on this earth. Well, to our delight, he got it. In fact, he seemed to enjoy that end-of-the-year holiday even more because he could celebrate the true meaning of it in and through the game, the fantasy. And to our knowledge, he never shared the secret with his friends until one by one they discovered it themselves. Then he came clean. Well, I think you get the implication of our Santa Claus story. Of course you do. So how about if you wake up to the fantasy, see the fuller freedom that lies there for you between its lines, and if it feels right to you, keep the secret. Keep the secret either until someone else wakes up to it on his or her own, or until you look at someone and you feel inspired to share it with that person who seems, well, ready. So we're at the end of our conversation about freedom. This conversation about freedom means an enormous amount to me. I feel like I'm frankly called in life to be not just the voice of freedom, but maybe the inviter of freedom, the facilitator of freedom, the door opener to freedom, the miracle worker around freedom. And I cannot thank you enough for being born free. By the way, you know that song, Born Free? That was Donna's and my, and it probably still is, I'm guessing, theme song. That was our special song when we first spent our first precious, beautiful evening together in deep, deep communication. Donna got on the piano, played, and sang Born Free. So thank you for being born free. And frankly, I can't thank you enough for your openness, not only to the implications and invitations of this precious topic, but to the joy and wonder that your own freedom can bring you. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. And I am about to turn this over to us, about to open us to a time when I stop talking and you start talking, when anybody who feels like you'd like to just share anything, a thought, an inspiration, something from your heart, a personal example, anything where you become the inspiration, you become the voice of freedom and the voice of blessing for all of us instead of me. And frankly, I think I've mentioned this before, this is one of my favorite times because I love hearing you. So I am going to take just some seconds. I'm going to push a couple buttons to unmute us, and then I'll be right back. So the precious little voice just told me that we are all muted, but that any one caller can unmute. She said themselves instead of herself or himself, but hey, that's apparently grammatically correct these days. So any of us who feels like talking, if you just unmute your phone, which is usually done by pushing *6, and tell us who you are, share what you would like. And I just want to remind us, of course, that this is not a question-answer time, so I won't be answering any questions. This is a time for you to share. So if anybody feels like sharing something with us, please, oh, please, let us know right now. is great. I get to do the disc jockey thing here and say, the lines are open. So, or I could do the Dancing with the Star things and say, you know, if you want to vote for so-and-so, press whatever. But that really doesn't fit quite here. So if there's anybody who would like to share anything, please feel free to unmute your phone and talk to us.
Hey, Bill.
Yes. This sounds like
Nat. I wrote a poem today, and I thought it'd be really fun to share it.
I would love that. Thanks.
And I added a little bit to it tonight while you were talking, so I think it'll fit. I've been kind of into Buddha lately, so anyway, this is it.
Oh, thank you. This is great.
From Buddha Consciousness, We Are Free is the name of it.
Hmm.
From Buddha Consciousness, there is no path, no realization, no truth, or renunciation. From Buddha Consciousness, all is okay. If we want to acquire something, we simply acquire it. From Buddha Consciousness, suffering, loss, hurt, or even consequences do not exist. There is only peace. From Buddha Consciousness, nothing can ruin us. There are no rules and no laws to break. There is nothing disgusting or even vague. From Buddha Consciousness, all is clear, like a bright and shiny day when white puffy clouds float by and the light from the sun shines from within your heart. From Buddha Consciousness, we are free. That's it.
Whoa, Annette. Thank you. That just gripped my heart, just touched me to the core, the beauty of the words, but the deep, deep truth of life. Thank you so much. What a gift to us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me share it.
Oh,
have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Annette.
Bye.
Wow, that was gorgeous, wasn't it? Anybody else want to share something with us?
Yes, hi, I'm Terry, and
yeah.
As you were talking, sharing, I just felt so expanded inside. It was just the most beautiful feeling of just freedom. I felt like I was almost in a bubble of freedom.
Yes.
So thank you.
Oh, Terry, thank you so much. I so appreciate your sharing that and sharing yourself with us. It's just a joy. And that, of course, I just want to comment a second, and then I'll turn it back over to somebody else. That's really totally my intention. To me, as many of you know, words are exciting and interesting, and concepts are equally that. But they to me, are means to an end, and you've just described a beautiful blessing that came in and through those words, Terry. So thank you. Would somebody else like to share something with us?
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Hi, it's Adrian.
Well, hi, Adrian.
Hello, I'm looking out at the Hawaiian mountains.
Oh, my.
And there's a question in this comment. If somebody out there has the answer, they're willing to they're welcome to contact me. But it's also an experience that I guess when I feel like I give up my sense of doership,
mm-hmm.
my sense of responsibility for making things happen,
mm-hmm.
then I sense my infinite freedom like that. In other words,
yeah.
the doing gets done by the divine, and of course I know I'm intimately divine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but that's just my experience. If I go around thinking I'm responsible for things, then I get all anxious, and I'm afraid I have to stay up till 2 in the morning remembering 5 gazillion things.
Yes.
But if I know that I'm really not the doer anyway, in this small sense of I,
mm-hmm. yes.
then I relax into that infinite sense of self as being the doer.
Yes.
So I don't seem to really be doing anything, but it all gets accomplished.
Yeah.
So now this is sort of a different way of looking at what you're talking about. And having said that, I want to say that I really like hearing the way you're describing it as a way to balance out the way I've been thinking about it. So thank you very much.
Oh, Adrian, thank you very much. That was absolutely beautiful. I love it, and I think your expression was very, very helpful to a lot of people. I really appreciate it. It's interesting to show you also how dumb I am. I didn't hear a lot of difference between your way and my way, but we don't need to go into that. So thank you so much.
Blessings and aloha.
Oh, aloha to you too. Thank you.
You're Vegas, boy. That's a whole other topic. Blessings on your Vegas experience.
Indeed. Thank you. And is there one more person who'd like to share with us?
Hey, Bill. It's Colleen from Delaware.
Oh, hi, Colleen. So wonderful to have you share.
Thank you so much for this. It really resonated with me. It was very powerful. And thank you for having the courage to tell us all that you are the creators of your freedom. I just have to say I'm not really good with words, but freedom to me is almost the same thing as truth. When you are free, you know the truth. And if you know the truth, you are free.
Wow.
They're almost synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just love what you said tonight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Colleen, thank you so much. I so treasure your message about truth and freedom. I couldn't agree more. They feel to me like two sides of the very same coin. So thank you so much. And as you said that, that old biblical saying, the truth shall make you free, just...
Right, that's right.
And so I guess that also means that our freedom will give us truth. So beautiful. Thank you enormously. And I want to thank all of you who have shared with us and all of you who haven't. As I think I've said a couple other times, I have a lot of people say to us that they wanted to share, but they were just in kind of a different zone and couldn't quite open their mouth to do that. So thank you for the sharing that even if you wanted to and didn't, that somehow in the ethers we're all grasping anyway. I would like to spend just the last few minutes just inviting each of us to our own very, very personal feeling, experience, our own deep inner sense of the totally remarkably, unbelievably rich freedom that we are and that lives in us and that invites us out of the secret, out of the fantasy, and into our own version of just being this beautifully free, tremendously exquisite, magnificently shameless self that we came to be. What do you feel right now? How is your personal depth speaking to you about the freedom that lives way, way down there, or that lives in the center or middle of your self? What does the voice of real, total, complete, absolute, and, to use the term, ultimate freedom sound like, feel like? How does it resonate? How does it vibrate? How does it pulsate? How does it touch you? Where does it touch you? What language does it speak? How does it not only invite you, but how does it, right now, as the blessing of this hour together, take you over? How does it do what Adrian right at the end mentioned when she just lets go and freedom happens all on its own? What's that like in you right now? And as we prepare to end our formal time together and even though we go out into our world, begin our informal way of being totally present to each other in spirit, celebrating each other's freedom, supporting each other's liberation, proclaiming and chanting and cheering each other's total, ultimate right to be absolutely free. As we do that, what is the free you, the completely free you, the ultimately free you? What is that you saying right now? Is it saying something like, yay? Or is it much more quietly, tenderly, gently saying, ah? Or is it simply quiet, utterly quiet, because perhaps the silence expresses that freedom much more powerfully than any sound would? As we begin to move into a different mode of being together, informal rather than formal, in spirit rather than auditorially, are you feeling ready? Ready to just be ultimately the free you that you came here maybe not to attain, but to discover anew? If I had one prayer, one wish, one desire, it would be something like this. May this sacred hour together be the circumstance, the event that in some way helps you open the door or helps the door open itself to the clear vision of you ultimately free being. May this beautiful hour together in its own way invite you or let you invite yourself to being totally, totally in charge of all that you are and of all that the world is around you. And finally, may this gorgeous, delicious time together fill you with such deep, thorough, complete, total awareness of your perfection and your freedom in such a way that all life is about freedom from now on. Thank you again so very, very, very much. I love you. And I'm going to turn this over to Donna while I simply push a couple more buttons. And Donna, thank you enormously.
Thanks, Bill. And I want to thank everyone for sharing this past hour with us. We will look forward to meeting with you again next month. It's May.